Thank you for your singing this morning. I appreciated that little mini sermon. Subtleties and the message of the Grinch. Who would have thought? I want to share, let's do second mini sermon. Mini sermon number two today. Free charge, nothing extra. And then we'll take a look at something from Luke chapter 2. Let me just try to get this fired up. There we go. All right. I'm wired up, mic'd up, ready to go. I want to share just something with you this morning. I shared this a couple of weeks ago during our Grief Share program. So we finished Grief Share, and I appreciate all your prayers. The Lord really used not only your prayers, but His Word to bring comfort, to bring strength, to bring understanding. And I just want to say thank you again for your prayers. Continue to pray for those that are grieving. And especially this time of the year. And we often say that this time of the year is a hard time of year for folks. And the reason is, I think, obvious, because it's a special time of the year. It's a time of the year when we remember our loved ones, when we enjoy being together with our families, when we hold dear those traditions and those times that we spend with one another. And I think that anything that comes in to sort of steal away those memories or steal away those joys, that makes it worse, and grief can sometimes do that, and we know that. And what I want to read this morning is just a little reminder about the value of Christmas. I in the last 8 or 9 years, one of the things that I've been sort of reminded of every Christmas time, and I try to remember, is to encourage folks not to hide from Christmas. And it can be hard because of loss and grief and those things. But Christmas is the time of the year when we find the greatest hope. It's not the only time of the year, but we're reminded of it so much. It's highlighted this time of the year. What is highlighted? Christmas, Christ. The hope that we have now because of the Savior that was sent should in some way take at least some of the pain away, or at the very least give us something to hope for and someone to hope in the midst of grief. So I just wanted to share this little poem here this morning. Again, this is mini sermon number two. But it has to do with loss and the strength that we can find through the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just read here. It says this. If Christmas is too painful, if it brings a lonely tear, if sadness fills the place you used to keep your Christmas cheer, if the sights and sounds bring heartache, there is refuge from despair. Go and stand beside the manger and you'll find your comfort there. Laid within there is a Savior born to cleanse and mend your heart, born to save the broken lives this old world has torn apart. Laid within there is a Lamb who came to live and die for you, to walk beside you and to guide you in the trials that you go through. Laid within there is a King who they laid within a grave, wrapped in rags and wrapped in linen, born to die, your soul to save. Laid within there is a hope. There is life forevermore, sweet reunion with our loved ones on a not too distant shore. Laid within there is the Son of God who will wash away your sin. He was born to make a way for man to have God's peace within. Go and stand beside the manger if this season brings you pain. Put your faith in Christ the Savior and you'll find your joy again. So just in light of the Christmas season and the grief that sometimes is coupled with that, really pray for those that are struggling. And it's so good to remember that even in the midst of grief, we can find hope through the Lord Jesus Christ, through that Savior that God sent to the world. Anyway, just something I wanted to share this morning. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, now to Luke chapter 2. This morning in our Sunday school, we talked about the wise man. How do you be a wise man, or how can we be wise people? And certainly as Christians, and we looked at some of those things this morning, and I wanted to look now at the shepherds and glean a few truths from these guys. As I said a couple of times now, I've really been enjoying going back to the Christmas stories, revisiting some of these accounts, and remembering and reapplying some of the old messages and relearning some new ones. So I hope this will be a blessing to us. But the shepherds, as we know, I'm sure, were not the they weren't on the top of the pyramid when it comes to importance or hierarchy. The shepherds were kind of the lowliest of the low. And it says something that the message of the birth of the Son of God came to them first. It reminds us that though we might sometimes think of ourselves as unimportant and not valued by God, as we sing at Christmas time, when he sent his son, the soul feels its worth, that God would send a redeemer for us, a savior for us. Wow, we are valued by God. Friends, we are loved by God immensely. As a matter of fact, I would say before I pray, that love that we have from God, that we receive is without condition. God doesn't put any conditions on his love for us. He doesn't ask us first to clean up our acts. He doesn't tell us that we need to look better and we need to sound better and we need to smell better or we need to be richer or more popular or wiser and then he'll love us. He loves us as we are. Agape love, unconditional love. And that is incredible because I know that this morning. That despite what I know about myself, God still loves me. And it's so encouraging. And God loves us and he wants us to know that love and he wants us to be reconciled back to him in a relationship with our Creator, and he's provided a way, and that way was through his Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible says that we can be at peace with God when we put our faith in his Son, Jesus. That's the whole message of Christmas. And really, without Christ, Christmas is just another day where we buy stuff or get stuff. But with Christ, it changes everything. And so the shepherds learn some of these things, and they can teach us a few things. I want to pray, and I'm going to read what we would know as Luke chapter 2 in the story of the shepherds. Father, we thank you for this morning. God, I thank you for this privilege of sharing your word and being able to speak on it. Lord, I pray that you would fill my heart, my mouth with words that would be encouraging to each of us. Lord, maybe even teach us things that we had never considered before that would excite us about Christ, about our relationship with him, Father. Lord, it is so good to be saved, to have confidence in Christ, to not fear death, to not fear life, but to simply learn and to grow in learning to trust you and to know that, Father, you love us. You're leading us. Thank you for the Savior you provided. We pray that you would bless your word as we remember what took place on the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, your Son and our Savior. In Christ's name we pray, Father. Amen. We're going to pick it up here in verse 8. We looked last week at some of these other verses. Mary and Joseph made their way. They found themselves in a stable where the Christ child was born, and not too far away. This was also taking place. In verse 8 it says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night." That's what shepherds do, right? They shepherd. They keep watch over their flocks. And it wasn't a very noble job, some would suggest. It wasn't a very valuable job. It was a difficult job, but I'm sure these shepherds did the best that they could. This is a different night than other nights. You can imagine what it would have been like. Maybe they were in a little lean-to or a cave or a shelter of some kind. I don't know. Maybe they were sitting outside, as we pictured last night, just around a fire, keeping warm and discussing life, looking up at the stars above them. I don't know what it was like. But the Bible tells us that the shepherds were keeping watch over their flock by night. And so what can we learn from this? Well, I thought about the fact that the shepherds kept watch. What were they watching for? Well, they were watching over their sheep. They were making sure that the enemies, the wolves, weren't coming in to consume or to destroy the sheep. They were taking care of them. They were looking after them. They were paying attention to their surroundings. And, you know, that's what the shepherds had to do. I remember as a little boy hearing this story about crying wolf, right? You don't want to do that because you cry wolf too many times and then nobody shows up to help you. I don't know if these shepherds wrote that story, but these guys were keeping watch for the wolves. And I thought, you know, this is a good reminder. These shepherds had to stay awake. They had to pay attention to their sheep. They took turns lying in the entrance or the exit of the sheepfold so that there was no way for the sheep to leave or to come or go or no way for the enemy to get in there without the shepherd knowing. It's a picture of Christ, who is the good shepherd, who is the door, keeping us safe. I love that picture. But the shepherds were keeping watch. And here's the reminder. Here's where we can apply this truth. As Christians, we can be like the shepherds in keeping watch. Keeping watch. Well, watch for what? Well, number one, keeping watch for the enemy. Keeping watch for the wolves. The safest place to be is as close to the shepherd as we can get, and the most dangerous places we can be is further from the shepherd, because the further from the shepherd we are, the closer we are to the wolves. And so we keep watch for the enemy. We keep watch for Satan, for his deceitful ways, for his devices. We keep watch on our own flesh to make sure that we're walking obediently with the Lord. You know, if we're not careful, sometimes we compromise. And from time to time, I've got to sit down and say, okay, Lord, where have I compromised? Am I loving others the way that I should? Is there pride in my life that shouldn't be there? Is there bitterness? Is there unforgiveness? Is there anger? Is there fruit being produced in my life because I'm walking with the Spirit, walking in the Spirit? And sometimes we've kind of got to do a check to make sure that we're keeping watch on the enemies that will creep in and steal our joy and manipulate us and lead us away from the shepherd into dangerous and dark places. So we keep a watch on the enemies because they are subtle, they're deceitful, like Herod, who told those wise men, hey, tell me when you find the Christ child. I want to worship him with you. When in actuality, he wanted to literally kill the child who was born, the Messiah. And in his vehement, bloodthirsty hatred for any competition, for anybody else to take the throne from him, caused him to kill many children during that period of time. Just wickedness. The enemy is worth keeping an eye on. The Lord Jesus Christ said to those disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, you remember what he said, right? He found them sleeping. What did he say? Wake up! What are you sleeping? The enemy is getting closer. This very night, Christ knew that they would come and lead him away, that the sheep would be scattered. Those disciples would run in every direction, not sure what to happen, running for their own lives. Even Peter, who so vehemently said, I will never let anything happen to you, follow Jesus Christ from afar off. Was scary. Christ said, you got to pay attention. Watch and pray, he said to them. Came back another time. They were sleeping again. He said, guys, I am the Son of God. I am Christ. Hear me when I say these things. They are true. I love you. You need to wake up. Be alert. Pay attention. The enemy hates you. Watch out for the enemy. The shepherds were used to watching for the wolves. Christians, sometimes we let our guards down. We'll let things come into our lives through the television, through the radio, through books, through companionships with people that don't love the Lord. We have to be careful. We want to be good examples, good testimonies, but we need to be careful to surround ourselves, even if it's temporary. And yet God has given us so much hope in His Word. Someday He is going to, we believe it 100%. Better days are coming. And so we hang on. And we are faithful. We keep a watch out for the enemy, but we also look for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ when He will set up His kingdom. And we will reign with Him. And we'll live, according to the Word of God, in a millennium and then a new heaven and a new earth. And so the shepherds kept watch. We need to be careful to do the same thing. I say this from time to time because it's good to remember. Satan, this is gonna sound maybe a little offensive, but you'll understand. Satan hates you. He hates you with a passion and a hatred that we don't truly understand. The same way we don't truly understand how much God loves us. And He wants to destroy you. And He is good at deceiving us. He knows how to manipulate us. He's been following my fathers and forefathers around for generations, picking up all the tricks, all the ways in which he can tempt me, all the ways in which he can manipulate me. And so I have to be awake. I have to be alert. I have to watch just like the shepherds did. Secondly, it says in verse 9, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Be careful and stay away from anybody that talks to you about praying to angels or following angels or knowing their angels. I remember somebody gave me a magazine once, and the whole magazine was about knowing your guardian angel and how you can know your angel and talk to your angel and know when your angel is around you. And it's absolutely not biblical, and it's dangerous. You know, some angels are fallen angels. They're demonic. They have no interest in doing anything good for us. The enemy hates us. Angels are not chubby little babies with a bow and arrow and a diaper. They are majestic beings that God has created to serve Him. Read Ezekiel. You'll get a different understanding of angels, Ezekiel chapter 1 or Ezekiel chapter 10, or the book of Revelation. Angels with four faces and angels with six wings. These are powerful entities that God has created, and they're His servants. They were afraid for a reason when this angel showed up on the scene. Something new, something different, something they couldn't explain. And it says again in verse 9, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Here's what I thought about. This healthy respect for the things of the Lord. You know, sometimes people will talk blasphemous things. They'll mock God. There's no fear, and especially in the world today. See, pictures where Christ is being in some way degraded or mocked or made fun of. You know, how many times have we seen pictures of the Lord's table, the Last Supper, I guess it is. I know this is just some artist's rendition of what it might have looked like, but I've seen at least a half a dozen pictures of how Christ is mocked and those disciples are mocked. There's no fear of God. There's no reverence. There's no respect. And I don't believe it comes from a place of unbelief. What? I mean, I don't believe in leprechauns, but I don't spend all my time running them down. That wouldn't make any sense, would it? If I talk bad about leprechauns all the time, I think he believes in leprechauns. He's always talking about how much he hates them. They don't exist, Tim. You don't have to hate them. They're not real. You know, people know there is a God in heaven. They know that God is the one that they're going to have to answer to someday. That's where that hatred comes from. Because the Bible says we have a sin nature, that the heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. And despite the fact that we live in a world that says, follow your heart, trust your heart, God says, run, lean not unto your own understanding, but trust in me, follow me, reverence me, respect me. These angels, like it or not, they had a healthy fear for the things of the Lord God. This angel showed up on the scene, and their attitude wasn't, who cares? This is just one of God's messengers. No, this was a healthy fear. And I love that the angel calms their fears. In verse 10, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Let me just stop and say, what is this good news that was for all people? Well, the next verse says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This was the best news possible. You know, the world didn't need, as much as we need many things, the world needed a Savior most of all. It didn't need another tropics. It didn't need another rainforest. It didn't need another volcano or a mountainous ridge. Or it needed a Savior, not another doctor, not another lawyer, not another journalist, not another baker. A Savior was what God sent this world. You need someone who can save you. And so that should alert us. It should cause us to ask, well, what do we need to be saved from? I'm okay. I literally had someone tell me that once. They looked at me and said, I was witnessing to them, and they looked at me and said, you need a Savior. Yeah, I can see that you're a mess. You need the Bible. You need that help. You need that comfort. I'm okay. I'm good. I don't need those things. Now, their life has changed. Situations change. And I would dare say that they do need those things, and they may even know it now, whether they did or not before. Well, a Savior was what you and I needed. To save us from what? To save us from our sin. The sin is the reason for death. I don't know if you've ever wondered why we die. God created the heavens and the earth. He created us in His image. Why is everything dying? Why are the trees dying? Why are the people dying? Why are the animals dying? Why is the world corrupt? Why do these bad things happen? Well, that's what we brought to the table when we disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden. Adam disobeyed. Took from the tree, took from the fruit, and he ate. And death has now been passed to all of us, as well as that sin nature. Can you imagine what heaven would be like if even one liar, one thief, one adulterer, one murderer just happened to slip in the door somehow? You know, imagine having a beautiful turkey dinner in front of you. We're all going to eat turkey. I hope you get to. I love turkey dinners. I don't get tired of them too quickly. And if you had a beautiful plate of turkey dinner in front of you with the dressing and the cranberry sauce and the gravy and the mashed potatoes and the turnip and the carrots and the salt and the pepper and the butter just melting. You getting hungry? Just steam coming off the plate. Your just mouth is watering. You just can't wait. And then to the left of your plate, you look down and you see this big old fat, what were those cockroaches? Hissing cockroach. Yeah, we were at the zoo the other day, and yeah. Would you eat around it? No. No. It would ruin the whole thing for you, wouldn't it? It would me. I would push the plate away and probably rise from the table and wouldn't want to eat anything for the rest of the day. It ruined the whole thing. Well, if God allowed for one sinner with their sin still intact, unrepented of or uncovered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, then heaven would become a lot like earth. And you know what I've noticed? A lot of times people describe earth as hell. It isn't. Matter of fact, as hard as life can be, it's the only heaven some people are going to know, which is terrifying. You know, God wants no sin to be involved in the eternity to come because sin causes death. Sin causes pain. That's the problem with people. It's our sin natures. We sin against one another. We lie to one another. We take from one another. We hurt one another. We commit violence against one another. We rebel against the things of the Lord. We do it our way instead of His way. And we bring so much hurt and pain and suffering into our world. God is like, this is a mess. And they're praying and they're crying out to me to rescue them. I will send them a Savior. But you've got to do it my way. And so the Lord Jesus Christ was born, a Savior. And God has made it so easy. God has told us, repent and believe the gospel. So I don't have to empty my bank account and take all my money and bring it before the Lord or to the church and say, here's all my money. Is that going to gain me entrance into heaven? You know what the answer would be? No. What if I gained the whole world? What if I literally owned the whole planet and everything on it, in it, and around it? Would that be enough to purchase from God a ticket into this place called eternal life, heaven? The answer is no. What profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? It's not going to happen. He would say, well, what can I do? If sin can't enter heaven and I know that I'm not perfect, I know that I fail, I know that I sin, I lose my patience, I lie sometimes, I take sometimes, I hate sometimes, I let bitterness or unforgiveness well up inside me, I see my sin. If I stand before God who has said, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not hate, thou shalt not covet. If I stand before Him, am I guilty or am I innocent? Well, I know me, I'm guilty. I've broken those commandments many times. And I'm in trouble. And so God has sent His Son, and the Bible says that when we turn from our sin, we turn from our own understanding, from our own righteousness, from our own merit, we identify those things that are against God in our lives. We say, God hates those things. Father, I see that, and I recognize and believe that Your Son literally died for me as payment for my sin. His blood was shed as the propitiation or the payment for our sins. And that's the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is what? Eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. So we can't pay for it. We can't earn it. We can't trick God into giving it to us. We need to simply receive that gift, to believe, to say, I believe Your word. I believe I know I'm a sinner, and I believe Jesus died for my sins. And He rose from the dead. I serve a living Savior. He's alive. He's coming back again. He's not dead. He's not in a tradition. He's not in the ground somewhere, bones rotting away. He came back to life, and He said, now, you trust Me, and you will follow Me. You will do the same. He was the first fruits of the resurrection. And all of us will get to follow Him. Those that put their faith in Him will have eternal life. That's why the angel said, this is good news of great joy. Really, what is it? You can have eternal life. What about my sins and my offenses? This child is going to die for your sins and offenses. He will pay the cost that you cannot pay. And if you put your trust in Him, you will be forgiven and saved. I remember being 9 years old and hearing this for the third or the fourth time and saying, Father, I'm a sinner. Forgive me. Save me. Lord Jesus Christ came into my heart that moment, and ever since, I've been learning what it means to be a Christian. Struggling, imperfect, failing, falling, praying, repenting, confessing, praising God for His patience and faith, but growing. The Lord Jesus Christ was a Savior. He is a Savior, and I hope that He's your Savior. There's that little detail there. For unto you is born this day in the city of David. What does it say? A Savior. And friends, we need to make sure that we make it personal and we say, my Savior was born. I'm trusting in Christ. Just quickly as we move on here, the shepherds, were eager to go and see. The angel told them how to find the babe. He would be in swaddling clothes, laid in a manger. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, you know, somebody said to me, I used to always envision this as the angels singing, right? Hark, the herald angels. You know, the angels are singing here. And somebody said, you know, the Bible doesn't say they're singing. But I said, well, have you ever heard an angel talk? Maybe it sounds like singing. Anyway, I don't know. The heavenly host has filled the sky. These angels are excited by what they have heard, and now they're eager to go and see. The angels have told them where to find the babe, how to find the babe, how to identify this as Christ. Glory to God in the highest, they say, on earth, peace, goodwill to men. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go and see. Let's go even to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known. They realized this wasn't just you know, some messenger. This was the messenger of God. God has made known to them that a Savior was born. And so they had a discussion. Hey, guys or gals, considering what we've just heard, you know, we should probably go to see this child. This is a big deal. Well, what about the sheep? Who cares about the sheep, right? The sheep will be fine. We're going to go and see the Lamb of God. And so I jotted down as a fourth point just quickly that the shepherds were eager to go and see the Lord Jesus Christ. Christians, we're eager to go to see the Lord, aren't we? We don't want to leave this world a second before the Lord calls us home, but we can't wait to someday in some way see our Savior face to face, it tells us in Revelation, that His servants will serve Him. We will see our Lord and Savior. I'm looking forward to that day, but I don't have to wait. I can go to the Word of God. I can pray and talk to the Lord. I can identify that Christ is with me every day of my life. The Bible says He'll never leave me nor forsake me. And we need to be eager like those shepherds to go and see for ourselves. It's not enough to know about the Lord, but to seek Him out. To go and see Him for yourself, to come to know Him in a personal way. And so many people know about the Bible, and they know about God, and they know about heaven, and they know about Jesus and a cross, but they don't understand. They have never been taught, or they haven't connected the dots. Yes, Jesus died on the cross, but it's not a universal free-for-all ticket now. You need to personally believe that He is your Savior and make that faith personal. Go to Him. Go and see for yourself. Search the Scriptures. Pray. And make sure that you have a personal relationship with Christ. These shepherds were eager to go and to see the Lord. You know, there's times when days or even weeks may pass by before a Christian thinks of the Word of God. And it ought not to be that way. We ought to be excited to go to the Savior, to go to the Son of God as often as we have opportunity to do that. And so the shepherds did. Fourthly, I jotted down, they were eager to tell. Look at verse 17. 16 tells us they find the babe. They went with haste. They didn't drag their feet. They ran. They were in a hurry. They got there as quickly as they could. They found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger, just as the angel said, because God's instructions always work. Verse 17, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. I can remember when I got saved going home that day from church. I was just a little kid, and I was excited. I didn't understand it. There was no lightning. There was no bells or magical words or music in the air. The angels in heaven were rejoicing, but I didn't even hear them. I just knew what I believed, and I believed what I heard. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I heard the Word of God, and I believed it. The Spirit of God was working in my heart. I knew that I was a sinner. I heard that if I put my faith in Jesus, the Son of God who died on the cross for my sins, that my sins would be covered, they would be blotted out, they would be removed, I would become a child of God, and I would be safe. I would be saved, born again. And I believed that. And I didn't understand it all. And when I got home that day, I remember going into where my mom was, and she was busy in our little camper. And I said, Mom, I got saved today. And that's what I remember saying those words. I didn't even really understand other than what I did. And she said, that's good, dear. You go on outside and play. And Mom was busy about the things that she was doing. And as time went on, she came to really appreciate the day that I got saved. We all grow. But I remember leaving that little camper and looking across and seeing two or three kids hanging out by the Quickie Mart. White Frost Village. And I ran across the street. with the whole purpose of telling these kids. I wasn't an evangelist or a pastor. I didn't know really anything. I just was excited. I'm saved. And I went over and I told them. I said, hey guys, you know what happened to me today? I got saved. They looked at me. Yeah, I went to church and Jesus, and I told them all about how he came and he died for us. You know, these shepherds were eager to go and tell. They made known abroad, it says in verse 17. They couldn't keep it in. Imagine having a cure for cancer. If you knew the cure for cancer, would you keep it to yourself? I would hope not. You know what's greater than a cure for cancer? The cure for every single disease and every wicked thing that has ever in any way taken advantage of humanity, and it's Jesus Christ. And it's not right that we're not pointing others to Christ. Christian, we need to be telling others. Not ashamed of this good news, but excited about it. And so the shepherds, they went out. They were eager to tell, and likewise Christians were eager to tell. That's why we'll be singing tonight. Glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not to the glory of the Bethel choir, though they do a fine job putting up with me. But for the glory of God, we want to tell others. That's why we're here, to learn and to tell others, to learn what we can tell others. And so the shepherds, they made it known abroad. Just quickly, verse 18, it says that they heard, or all they, excuse me, that heard it wondered at those things. You know what I thought? Is that they were heard. Number five, I jotted down. The shepherds went out to tell, and they were heard. You know, we can't always, what's that saying? You can lead a horse to water, but you can't what? Make him drink. Well, if the horse is not thirsty, that makes sense. And you can sometimes lead someone to the truth, but you can't make him believe it. Right? That's a personal decision that we have to make. But they will hear, and they should hear. How can they know except someone go and tell them? Even the eunuch said that. How can I know what the Bible says until someone tell me and help me understand it? Philip jumped up and said, well, I'll help you. I know. But they were heard. God's word will not return void. When we share Christ, God's word will penetrate in some way, shape, or form. People will be convicted or challenged or even converted through the work of the Holy Spirit. But we need to make sure that we're sharing the things that we have heard. And that's what we're doing. And I'm so thankful that we can do that. You ever get tired? Does anybody ever get tired of sharing these things? Of course not. As Christians, every Christmas, every Easter, and every day, we do our best to talk about the things of the Lord. Finally, as we close, it says in verse 20, and the shepherds turned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them. They glorified God. Just a simple little statement as we close. And as Christians, to be like shepherds, we glorify God. We'll do that again this evening, but not just when we sing. We glorify Him in our lives. We glorify Him by obeying Him, by choosing to honor Him in our lives, and by telling others about Him and what He's done. You know, Christmas is so much more than just traditions. As much as we love these traditions, it's hope. And it's another opportunity to remember, oh, we have hope. The world's a mess, yep, but we have hope. Christ is that hope. Someday He's going to set things right. And I don't have to wait. There may be chaos in the world around me, but there is peace in my heart. And it's not all. I have to work to maintain that peace. Well, I have to remember the promises of God. I have to walk in the Spirit. I have to be obedient. But there is peace there, a peace that passeth all understanding. I don't even understand it some days. Even when the world is in chaos, we can have that peace. How? Well, when Christ dwells within our hearts, peace will reign within our lives. Right? That's how we can find that peace the angels were talking about. It's when Christ dwells within us. And how does that happen? When we believe He's the Son of God. The Bible says when we put our faith in Jesus, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so we can have eternal life. Anyway, this is the gift of the Son of God. Father, we thank You for Your word. Thank You for these shepherds. Thank You for the reminders that we can see in the passage, the examples that we find here. Help us, Lord, to follow these examples. Lord, we are in different ways shepherds. As Christians, whether we know it or not, we're leading others. Others are watching. Others are following. Help us, Father, to point them to Christ. Thank You, Lord, for sending us a Savior. Thank you for the love that you have for us. Even while we are sinners, Christ died for us. So, Lord, we thank you for that love. And, Father, as we leave here today and go into the rest of our week, we pray, Lord, for your blessing and for your help in taking the opportunities to share others how much you love them and what you did for them, that you sent a son, that they can be forgiven, they can be saved, they can rid themselves of the fear of death, rid themselves of the shame and the guilt that we often experience because of sin, Lord, and we can be liberated from that. We can be set free. We can have peace, even in a broken world when Christ dwells within our hearts. And we can't pay for it, and we can't earn it. We need only to believe. And so, Lord, we pray that if there's any today in this church, any within the sound of my voice that have never put their faith in Jesus Christ, that today they would simply trust him, as the Bible says, to repent and to believe the gospel. We thank you for your son. We thank you for Christmas, and that we can this time of the year remember and remind and tell others about who he is and what he's done. Bless us as we close now in Christ's name. Amen.